Nutty Bites.
Hello, Mixed Nutcases. This is Nuke Joss, and I've got a special episode of Nutty Bites for you. We are going to be talking about classic video games. And with me today, I have my regular antagonist.
Hi, I'm Tech.
And we have Mr. Hugh O'Donnell of the Way of the Buffalo podcast.
Hello.
So before we start, I'm actually going to do something that I don't normally do. I normally do this in post, but we're gonna do it during the recording this time, and we're gonna thank the patrons. And so, Hugh, you're gonna help.
Okay.
So we're just gonna go through, and we're gonna thank them in no particular order. Well, actually, you know what? Let's thank them in a newcomers first. So that's what we're gonna thank them in this time. Every time I do it, by
so as we start, I'll have to thank our newest patron, who's not on the list, the guy at work who keeps throwing me money. Hi, Nick.
Yeah, he threw you a loony.
Yeah, which means he's supporting
the episodes. That's not keeps. That he threw a loony at you once.
But, and he's a listener.
Thank you, Nick.
And he also happens to be my boss, so I have to be nice to him.
Yes, thank you, Nick. But he is not the newest. There are newer than he.
Newer than Nick.
Oh, yes, so thank you to Dengi Rap. I hope I pronounced that properly. I believe it's Icelandic. Thank you very much. Welcome to the patron. And thank you to Mike. You know who you are. He was almost on this podcast, but then he fell ill. Thank you to Nobilis and D. Thank you to Mr. Jason Banks of the Talk Nerdy to My podcast, who is the highest patron level.
He is our daddy Warbucks.
He is our daddy Warbucks for the moment, because he is pledging $10 an episode. So thank you, Jason.
Thanks, Jason.
Yeah. Right.
I will now be doing 9 episodes a month.
Yes. And thanks to Jason and these other new ones, we are doing 2 episodes a month.
Oh, okay.
Not 9. We're not going to make them broke. But thank you very much. And now you get 2 episodes of Nutty Bites every month guaranteed. If you've been listening, you've been hearing the 12 days of podcasting. Those have been bonus episodes. Also, I want to thank another... This is from the group that is doing the 12 Days of Podcasting. Ken Kennedy, he came from the Dog Days of Podcasting, and he does Kenzoid's Autonomous Zone. So thank you very much, Ken. Thank you to Aurora Lee. Thank you to Susan. Thank you to Lynette from the Bicast. Thank you to Melissa from the Bathtub Mermaid. Thank you to Susanna. Thank you to Frank. Thank you to Kinsey of the Brazilianisms Podcast. Thank you to Beth. Thank you to Ian of the Down Below podcast, I believe. And thank you to Harold. Thank you to Jen, also of the Talk Nerdy to Me podcast. Thank you to Patrick. Thank you to David Doc Blue. Thank you to Aaron. And Aaron Jackson is also our quality control guy. He's pretty awesome.
Thank you, Aaron.
And thank you to number one fan, Shane
Poole. The podcast super fan, Mr. Yes. Shane Poole.
Of the Red Dwarf podcast, which is putting out new episodes. So give them a listen.
And he's got a new political thing that he's doing.
Yes, he's got a new political podcast. I totally forgot the name of it because it's like a sentence long.
We will totally get this to you guys.
He did an episode about Brexit. Then he did an episode about the U.S. election. And
yeah, his episode of the U.S. election done like election night went 3 hours long.
Well, it was shortly after. Yeah, right. It was a very long episode. It was recorded over 2 days. And for quite a bit of it, he just rants about some conservative talk show host. But it's good. It's very interesting. And he's got Harold was on there. So there was a bit of a lawyer's perspective for nice. Certain things. That was really cool. And then you had Carol, who was at some of the protests and the rallies. And so you got some of that perspective going on.
Nice.
And I believe he had Steph on there. So you got the Southern perspective and then Matt out from the West Coast. So it was very well rounded. I actually really enjoyed it. And I think he's going to be doing another. So it's one of those podcasts that are, you know, for special political occasions.
You know what else is well rounded? My love for all genres of vintage video games.
Yes, that is fantastically well-rounded. So let's start off.
But you know what's not well-rounded? Pixels.
No. Pixels are not well-rounded.
They are not well-rounded at
they
all.
Are the exact
so
opposite of round. So I want to start off. I want everybody to tell me, what is the first video game that you played?
The first video game I played... would be Donkey Kong on the ColecoVision.
Nice. And did you fall in love right then?
I was six or so at the time. My parents bought the ColecoVision when we were stationed in Toronto, and I began with video games in my house at a very, very young age. But before that, like, we were always a gaming household. We always played cards. I've had a basement full of board games since I was very, very young. And you know, growing up gaming, whether it's in front of the TV or sitting around the kitchen table, gaming is gaming is gaming. And I mean, if we weren't sitting down trying to beat each other's high scores on looping or in Donkey Kong, we were sitting around trying to beat each other at cribbage. So games are games. Games are entertainment.
So, yes.
Yes.
The answer is yes.
Yes.
Okay.
In a roundabout way.
Mm. You? What was the first game you played that you can remember?
It was Super Mario Brothers, Christmas morning, 1988.
Wow.
I was 5 or 6 years old.
You were spoiled.
I was in 1987. I was the youngest of four children, so I was not spoiled. It was totally not for me. This was a shared child gift. That was it.
But what a great video game to start with. You started with the bar so high.
Yeah. Yeah, you really did.
We actually had, like, not the launch, because my parents didn't get the first one, but the one that had the triple cart with Duck Hunt and World Track Meet. So we had, like, the little pad.
Oh, you had the running pad, too?
Nice.
Yeah, we had the running pad and everything.
Nice.
See? Spoiled. So wait, you were 5 in 87?
Yes.
He's our sister's age.
Yep.
He's younger than us.
1982.
Yeah. Okay. So for me, it was, I'm trying to remember. It was on the Atari, and it was either Space Invaders or Metroid, or it was Pac-Man at the arcade, but I'm not sure which came first. And we didn't get, like, anything in the house until my cousins bought a new Atari and gave us their old one or loaned it to us for a little while, and then it disappeared. And then my aunt gave the family, so for all eight of us, we had to share it, the NES with the Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt, so it came with the gun. And she gave it to us for Christmas, so my parents couldn't say no.
How much rage-inducing rage do we all have against that dog?
Oh, how many times did you try to shoot the dog?
A video game.
Every time.
Yeah, a video game where that laughs at you when you fail.
Say that again, Hugh.
When I was a kid, I would unload whole clips on that dog.
Every time. And in part of this also, I do want to say that between the Atari and the NES, we did have a Commodore 128. So there was a playing of that glitchy Bruce Lee game that I love so much. I've gotten it on emulator and I can't seem to play it at all. It's terrible. So I'm not going to say that one holds up. So let's talk about what are some of your favorite games, those early vintage games that still hold up and you still want to play them today.
I'm going to talk about them again and again throughout this show, but I got to say it's the original Mega Man series or the all Mega Mans. I love those games. The fact that it's, you know, the classic side scrollers, the little tricks, the fact that the bosses you can play in any order, they give you the ability to shape your play experience, but you have to discover that this guy can be, you can use the weapon from each boss to defeat the other weapons, but if you do them in a special order, it becomes easier. So you have to find that order and you have to find your way through the games. And the beauty of the Mega Man series has to be the music that it has. Collectively, they have the greatest 8-bit soundtrack of any game. Now, there are some other songs like, you know, Level 2-2 from Ninja Gaiden and, you know, the main Tetris theme and, you know, these other games that have got these great songs. Mm-hmm. But collectively, the Mega Man soundtrack has got to be the greatest soundtrack of all time.
Yeah, of the 8-bit era, totally.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and we should explain that Mega Man is the reason we're recording this. We were trying to come up with an episode topic that we could talk about, just the two of us, and, you know, there's so many things we could talk about. But, Tech, you went out today, you got yourself a PlayStation 4 card or PSN card, whatever they're called. Mm-hmm. And you just downloaded Mega Man Legacy.
Yeah, the Mega Man Legacy Collection on the PSN. So it's the first six Mega Man games in all of their glitchy 8-bit goodness. Nice.
With passwords and everything.
With passwords and everything. It's the same. It's the six games, but they also add in the music archive, character art, sketches. There's a little museum you can go through. All kinds of fun extra and challenge modes. But it's the awesome 8-bit glitchy goodness that you remember. For the last little while, I've been hooked on watching speedruns on YouTube of these really talented, dedicated gamers trying to break games and run them as fast as possible. So, you know, guys that are running the original Super Mario Bros. In 8 minutes. I think it's 8 minutes from one end to the other. And now they're down to the point where they're not counting it in number of minutes and seconds. They're counting it in the number of frames.
Wow.
To try to shave individual frames off their runs to get it faster and faster and faster. And the times just keep falling. But they're down to fractions of a second now. I'll give a big shout out to two big charity runs that these speedrunners do through Speed Demo. I think it's Speedrun Archive or Speed Demo Archive. It's called Awesome Games Done Quick and Summer Games Done Quick. They do these two big conventions every year. They're like 4-day marathons where they speedrun games for charity. And all the money goes to big charity, Cure Cancer, big charities, Cure Cancer, Doctors Without Borders. And they give out some pretty cool prizes, and it's all done through Twitch and YouTube, and you get to watch the best speedrunners in the world just absolutely demolish the games that ruined your childhood. One of the big reasons I've been fixated on these Mega Man runs and that I bought the Mega Man Legacy Collection is I've never beaten a Mega Man game in my life. I've never been good enough. And, you know, I played for a couple of minutes before coming on air today, and I beat the first four bosses of Mega Man 2 so far. Nice. So I'm on my way.
You've already beat your record.
I have actually. But I was, you know, would that come out like 87, 88? I was what, yeah. 9 or 10? But I am gonna beat these Mega Mans, and I am gonna speed run at least one of them. Take that, childhood. it's so much fun.
So Hugh, what is one of the ones that you really fell in love with, one of your first early games that just you still want to play it today?
I think the one that I most fell in love with, and like the first one that I beat, like ever. So this is going to sound like heresy, but Super Mario Brothers 2.
That's a great game.
It's such a great game.
I've never beaten it. And in Rage, I got to watch my sister beat it before I could do it.
Oh,
yeah.
Just princess all the time. Princess all the way through.
Because she floats.
Yeah.
That was one of the things that I loved about that game, is that each of the different characters had actual different abilities. Now, I know it's just a rebranded game and it was actually something else, but the princess floats. Luigi jumps quicker.
No, Luigi's got that hover jump that he does.
He jumps slower but higher.
Yeah,
he's slower but higher. Then Mario jumps quicker, and then Toad digs faster.
Yeah.
Digs and throws faster, yeah. And Mario's like an average of all of them.
Yeah. But, yeah, princess all the way because she floats.
Yeah.
And it's got a really great soundtrack also. It was just last week that I'm like, why do I have the Mario 2 theme stuck in my head? It will just permeate into my head without any impetus because it's just that good. Into the microphone, honey. Yeah, no, absolutely. That's a great game. So the one that I'm going to bring up, I never quite beat it because it is unbeatable because it will go on forever. But I have beat many people in playing it and comparing, and that is Tetris.
Yes.
I am a huge Tetris fan. And for me, I'm not very good at video games, but I am awesome at Tetris. And I will play Tetris nonstop. When I was growing up with the Super NES, the rule was you played till you died. And so Mario Brothers It was very quick. Like, you didn't, it wasn't you played till you ran out of guys. It was you played till you died, because there were 8 of us and we all had to share. So when it got to be Tetris, at one point it was, no, this isn't fair. She shouldn't be able to play, because then we're never getting on. Because I would go all the way up to like level 19 or 20 something insane. Better than I can do today, I can tell you that much. When I was younger, I had, when I was in high school, my brother had one of the Pea Soup Game Boys, and he gave it to me. He had it for, he was on a blockade ship for Persian Gulf. And so he bought it for that. And when he came back, he gave it to me. And it had all sorts of different games, but the one that I kept playing was Tetris, because Paperboy sucked, man. Yeah. I tried so hard.
I never beat Game Boy Paperboy is like such a tiny screen.
Oh, it was so hard.
You never see those cars coming.
Never. But I would play Tetris, and I remember there was this one English class that the teacher never noticed anybody or anything, and we'd play Tetris in the back, and we'd play till we win, and all of the guys sitting around me were like, yo. Can't play when you die? Sure, when I die. And then they'd whenever they'd get their chance, they'd be on it so quick, and then it would have to come back to me. And they're like, oh man, she beat you. She beats you all the time. She kills you in video games. And yeah, that was always fun. And even today, I will play the old school original Tetris, and I really do enjoy it. I think the only time that it really shakes me up is when we're in battle mode and we can sabotage each other. Right, Tech?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
No, you're so mean.
See, now I have to play you in Tetris. We have to arrange this.
Yes, we do.
Absolutely. Yes. She's mean. Never, never, ever trust an abstract artist when it comes to a game of Tetris.
Yeah.
So I have a question. Yeah. Let's go around here. The question is, if we can argue that in every conceivable way, modern games are better than they were 20, 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Hugh and I were just talking before we went on air about, you know, Final Fantasy 15. And the graphics are better, the controls are better, the experience is better, the music is better, etc. So if I'm playing Final Fantasy 15, why do I keep changing the soundtrack back to Final Fantasy 6 and I want to go play the opera scene from Final Fantasy 6 again? What is it about these old games that keeps drawing us back in? Besides pure nostalgia goggles.
I will say that the Uematsu soundtracks for Final Fantasy are the second best video game soundtrack of all time. The first being Chrono Effing Trigger.
Absolutely Chrono Trigger.
Yeah. I'm going to pause and promote, I don't know if you guys have heard about Chronicles of Time, which is this huge, huge Chrono Trigger orchestration project that is a beautiful soundtrack. It's 5 discs.
Wow.
From people from all over, like, the game cover and game remix community. And all of the proceeds for it are going to Doctors Without Borders.
Yeah. Give us that link, man.
Absolutely. That sounds awesome.
ChronicleSofTime.net.
Hang on, I need to write that down.
As huge of a Final Fantasy nut as I am, it's got to be like, well, it, I don't know, maybe my first or second, not, but be my second favorite franchise of all time, that, oh my God, Chrono Trigger. What a game.
Yeah. Chrono Trigger is so good. I don't know, I think that there's, like, as video games have sort of gotten bigger and larger and more production-focused, they've become big budget movies.
Mm-hmm.
And while, like, big budget movies are great, they used to be more auteur, more personal, more small. Like, Rogue One is a beautiful, beautiful movie.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it can't, but maybe there is still something to be said for, like, a movie that's older and smaller and, you know, has more.
On that note,
not on 15 planets?
Yeah.
Well,
on that note, I did notice something in Rogue One, that this was the first Star Wars movie since Episode 4 that I felt that the CG did justice to the original stop motion effects that they did and the models that they used in the original movie. That, wow, yeah, it took 30 years of CG to finally make up what they did with models in the first one.
Yeah, like, and I was sort of, I was very impressed with Rogue One, but that's not what we're here
to no but yes talk about. Now we're talking a little bit. I think one of the big things is the music really is a driving force behind these vintage games. There is something to be said about the fact that they were able to compose such amazing music using MIDI. You know, it's such a limited tonal palette, if you may. I'm not a musician, so I can't really speak in musical terms. But for artists, there's something that we do called a limited palette. When you limit your colors, sometimes you can make more beautiful paintings. So it kind of feels that's what happened with these original games.
Oh, absolutely.
That because they were limited by the fact that they couldn't make too many sounds, they actually ended up being able to compose some really amazing scores.
I think that the music processor on the Nintendo could handle four tracks. So yeah, we're just talking about a limited palette. You do the same thing in music.
Yeah.
With limited tracks. But before I go on to rant about the music in games, I want to give you my perspectives. So my question was, why do we keep going back to these vintage games? Do you have an answer for that, Nutty? Why do we keep going back to these old games?
Because they're good.
Because they're good, right?
And they still play well.
Which ties into my thing. It's like, for every quantifiable reason, I can say that Final Fantasy 15 is better than Final Fantasy 1.
Sure.
But you can't quantify fun.
Yeah.
I think that's true.
And there is something to be said about the side-scrolling nature of it, that you're kind of forced into this one screen idea instead of being immersed in a whole world. And you know, sometimes that's a lot of fun. I mean, video games are a form of escapism, and if you're escaping from a giant world of your life and going into the giant world of, say, Skyrim or Final Fantasy or Fallout or whatever, it's maybe a little too much the same. Whereas when you come into these side scrollers, you are forced into just this one little box.
Oh, yeah.
And you only have to pay attention to that, and you don't have to pay attention to anything extraneous. I mean, that's why, what's that Final Fantasy game that I love playing on my Game Boy?
Oh, you're playing Final Fantasy IV.
Yeah, Final Fantasy IV, I absolutely love, and I can keep going back to it. The Zelda games. Oh my gosh, the Zelda games. And that's one of the games that they've updated a little bit, but they've never really lost that vintage feel.
That old school feel. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, one of my favorite franchises, maybe my favorite video game franchise, is Mass Effect. I love those games. I can't wait for Andromeda. December 31st. Goodbye, New Year 2017. It's been nice knowing you. I will disappear into a cave. I can't wait to play Andromeda. I love the Mass Effect games. But, you know, you're talking about like sci-fi space fantasy games. I can't remember the music that plays when you level up or when you do something cool in Mass Effect, but I can tell you that I still remember the sound it makes every time I pick up a power-up in Super Metroid.
Yes.
Exactly, right? Super Metroid. Oh my god, what a great game.
Yes.
And when you watch a speedrunner like demolish the entire game in a half hour...
Yeah, it's just incredible.
Yeah, goodbye childhood. I spent days. I remember renting that from the local Blockbuster, going home and like unfolding the map, and then the very limited internet access that we had, you know, going to GameFAQs.com, ding, you know, printing out the text file on my dot matrix printer and trying to make it and trying to make it through that game as fast as I possibly could and never getting anywhere.
So I've got another one that's really great, and this one is particularly special to me because of what I watched it do with the next generation. Frogger. Frogger is a very frustrating but very fun game. You know, all you have to do is get your frog across the road, but there's all these cars and stuff that are trying to smush it. Watching my teenage niece at the time on a bubble iMac playing Frogger, and she would come home and she would just play Frogger on that iMac over and over and over again. And this is something that was built like more than a decade before she was ever even born, and she was in love with it. And the fact that some of these vintage games capture the imagination of people that weren't even alive when they were made, that you're not going to get with the other things. I mean, we all remember when the Nintendo 64 James Bond came out. And it was the first time that it was a multi-person shooter game.
GoldenEye, baby.
Yeah, GoldenEye. We all loved it. But that's not going to capture a teenager's imagination and make them want to play it today. But they'll still want to play Frogger. And they'll still want to play Mario and Metroid and all of these early games. And that, to me, is pretty awesome. And I have played Frogger on the arcade. I have played it on console. I have played it on the computer. And tech got me like this mini little arcade thing that I played it on for a couple of years. It was like a desktop arcade. It was pretty cool.
Nice. Well, yeah, I think that definitely the thing with vintage games is that they embrace the aesthetic of learn by doing.
Mm-hmm.
Which maybe designers today are a little more leery of. We have a lot more tutorials in today's games and beginner areas. And
well, it's more about the cinematic experience.
So yes. What you're saying is Dark Souls is the only one that is true to the original vision of no instructions.
Dark Souls is learn by dying over and over and over again.
My favorite story about Dark Souls is as I was playing through the first one, the first time you die, I got a PlayStation achievement for my death called Welcome to Dark Souls. And it's the, they've got like the classic philosophy of the thing about old games is that they are brutally honest. It's not that the game, the Super Nintendo, you know, F-Zero, these other games, they sort of ruined it with rubber banding and how the game would try to keep up to you. But like early, like 80s video games were brutally honest. If you died, it's because you weren't good enough. And Dark Souls is the same way. Dark Souls is a humbling experience. After going through, you know, these cinematic masterpiece games, which is, you know, like a 100-hour movie like the Mass Effect series, when you get to a game like Dark Souls and you die 30 seconds in, you did something wrong. The game didn't cheat. The game didn't lie to you. It was a big dude with a sword and he cut you in half because you didn't dodge.
Mm-hmm.
And you're the one to blame. And you want to feel bad? Watch a speed run of Dark Souls where guys destroy the whole game in an hour.
Yes. Dark Souls is truly the Battletoads of modern gaming.
Oh, Battletoads, that stupid vertical level.
I love the vertical level. I could never get past
The hover river. Bikes afterwards?
Oh, I could do the hover bikes, but not the river.
Right.
Like, the first time I did the hover bikes, I was just like, yay, I have become immortal.
Like, I used to play Battletoads at my buddy Pat's house. He had two games that we'd play every time, and it was Battletoads, and then we'd play Double Dragon 2.
Nice.
And my immersion was ruined right away when I noticed that there was a typo in the translation of Double Dragon 2 where it would talk about, you know, the two brothers, Billy and Jimmy, but it said Bimmy and Jimmy.
All your base are belong to us.
All your base are belong to us.
So that gets me to another thing that I want to talk about. So just because something is one of these classic vintage games does not mean that it is one of the ones that is going to the test of time.
We put up with a lot of crap.
For instance, let's start with the very first video game. Now, I'm sure we have all played Pong at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you going to go and you're going to play Pong?
If I go to a video game museum and I find like an original Pong arcade machine, yeah, I'll try it. Why not?
But you're not going to sit there and go, hey, buddies, why don't you come over to my house? We'll play some Pong and fall asleep. Exactly. Yeah. And here's another one that was awesome. I remember it was so great when I was a kid. And now I'm totally uninterested in playing. And that's Q-Bert. No, that's Birdie.
I'm not lining up to find a copy of Adventure.
Exactly. You were eaten by a Gru. The key does not work. No matter how many times you try it, it's the wrong key. Exactly. Adventure. I mean, there's so many different games that they were kind of the thing. Oh, and by the way, there's one game, and I don't know if this counts as a vintage game because it was on a computer, but there is one game that I never could figure out, and there were no instructions when I played it, but Myst, I never could get past the first screen.
Pixel hunting. You had to find that one little spot that you could click, and no.
And there was nothing that told me to do that.
No. Yeah, so on that topic, vintage games that you weren't smart enough to play, I'll give you an example. For me, it was the King's Quest series by Roberta Williams, one of the great game designers. A great series of games spawned a whole bunch of sequels. What'd they do, like 6 King's Quests, I think?
I don't know.
Plus Police Quest and a bunch of others. Great, great, great series of games. I'm not smart enough to play them because I have no clue what I'm doing. And I never got nowhere. And I remember one game. It was in like a desert setting and I'd always die. I'd just like walk off into the desert, be eaten by a scorpion or something.
So did anyone play anything with the power glove?
I did not have a power glove.
Me neither. But okay.
I think that especially when we talk about classic games that we love, we are approaching the topic with a fair amount of... I don't know if you want to say survivor bias, that we specifically remember the good ones.
Yeah, nostalgia glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we definitely are.
Like, none of us are remembering Donkey Kong Jr. Math.
Yeah. Yeah. And
Or Hat-Tris or Word-Tris or we remember
every
Tetris.
Tetris that came out right after.
Well, I remember Dr. Mario, and it wasn't nearly as good as Tetris, but I still killed
it. Dr. Mario has great music, though.
It did. By the way, if you're not watching the YouTube video, you're missing all of the dancing. Every time we sing, there's dancing.
No one can see me dance. That's...
Well, we can, but that's our private feed.
Well, he doesn't know about that. Don't.
Shh. It's okay. I'm not in your house.
By the way, you've been working out.
Yeah.
I like.
So before, let's move past the sexual harassment portion.
Absolutely.
Of this. And
moving on.
So like, what are some of the ones that were absolutely frustrating to you? Like other than, you know, missed for me.
Oh, frustrating. Well, I mentioned the King's Quest.
Uh-huh. That's great.
Never
audio.
Ever been able to get anywhere in Zelda 2.
Yes.
I ended up beating that one. That's I remember I had a Super Nintendo and I really, really wanted for my birthday, I wanted Zelda A Link to the Past. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't quite in the family budget at the time, but Nintendo games were cheap at this point, so my mom got me Zelda 2 for my birthday, which I remember playing for about 10 minutes and then going out and renting A Link to the Past. And played that for my birthday weekend. And then I'm like, well, I got this game. I might as well play it. Holy crap, I have no idea what's going on. I might as well beat the bloody thing. And I ended up beating it. It took a while, but...
Now, I can't remember, and I know that this isn't a vintage game, but it is one of those... Did you actually download the bus game?
No. I've never played... I've never played Penn & Teller's... what's it called? Bus Trip or...
City Bus, I don't know.
Do you know the game we're talking about, Hugh?
Desert Bus?
Desert
That's
Bus.
That's it, Desert Bus.
I've never played it.
Okay. I thought you might have. No. Yeah, there were a lot of the games that were like really frustrating to me. But then again, I wasn't very good, especially the jumping. Oh, jumping puzzles were always tricky for me. My sister was really good at them. My sister was the first person in the family to beat Mario Brothers. That it would drive us all nuts because, you know, like everybody would get mad when I would play Tetris. We'd all get mad when she would play because she would beat the game on one guy. That was totally unfair. But it's to the point that when I'm playing a game now, if there is a jumping puzzle involved, I get absolutely frustrated and I don't want to do it. But that's why I like Link. There's no jumping.
I will say that when I was a child, when I was wee baby Hugh, I was super, super into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which, you know, shows my exact age.
Yeah, huh?
And I had the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game for the NES.
Oh, that stupid sewer jump.
Yes, the sewer jump.
It's terrible.
It's in, like, the third level. It's very, like, it's a long slog to get to it, and then you just die. All the time, and I could never get past it.
Did the angry nerd ever get past that one?
I don't think you did, but Yeah, shout out to the angry video game nerd. If you are living in a rock on Mars with your fingers firmly in your ears and you haven't heard of this guy yet, look up his YouTube channel and watch these videos of a guy looking back at the worst of the games that we had to put up with to get to the good stuff.
He plays them so you don't have to.
And then he gets really, really mad at them.
Yeah. So what about this trend about how we now watch video games?
This is something I remarked the other day about how lazy we're getting. About I remember being a youth and playing a baseball game. Bases Loaded 2, as a matter of fact. I'm playing a baseball game on my Nintendo, and my mom is like, well, why don't you just go outside and play actual baseball? I'm like, well, I want to play the video game. So, you know, we were playing a video game of a sport instead of going out and playing the sport. Now, with Twitch and YouTube and all the other things, people would rather watch other people play a video game of a sport than actually play the game of the sport. And I'm wondering, how much lazier are we going to get? Is there going to be like a Twitch of Twitch where we watch people watching people playing a game of playing a sport? How far down this rabbit hole can we go?
Well, I'm not sure it's a laziness thing.
Yeah.
I think that what it is that due to console manufacturers trying to funnel us all into online markets, we're losing the communal sense of gaming. Like, we all have these fond memories of sitting around a console taking turns with our brothers and our sisters with minimal amounts of violence.
Mm-hmm.
In the real world.
Right, or like I was talking about before, but, you know, sitting around the table playing cards.
Yeah, like things like doing split-screen GoldenEye, mm-hmm. racing in Mario Kart, where we're slowly sort of losing those experiences in favor of headsets.
And yeah.
I think Twitch...
Which we're all using right now.
Yeah. Well, yes, but I think that Twitch is sort of an attempt to at least hang on to that sort of sense of we can hang out and watch our friends play games.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and if you think about it, I mean, also the games aren't designed for us to be able to do that. I mean, when with the SNES games, just the NES games, you would play and you'd play till you died, and then the next person could play. And now it's, well, you have your save game and you can only save so many of them. And it's, you don't really get to share that gaming experience, except for that. And this does happen, especially with like Mass Effect. I'll be doing something else in the room, and tech is playing, and I'll be paying attention, you know, peripherally, because there's a story going on, and I'm very interested in this.
Because
story.
You get to watch a 100-hour movie.
Yeah, pretty much. I get to watch a 100-hour movie while he plays, but. Games aren't really designed for the quick back and forth that we had growing up. So I think you're onto something.
No, it's a very valid point. It's just we're there was a joke about this on Futurama, which is they're at a video game convention and there's somebody playing skee ball.
Mm-hmm.
Like actual, like rolling the balls up the ramp, playing skee ball. In the next booth over, there's a guy wearing a virtual reality headset and he's playing virtual skee ball. And in the next booth over is someone sitting in a chair with virtual reality goggles on playing virtual skee ball. And they're like, wow, it's almost like I'm playing virtual skee ball.
Yeah. The thing that I found funny is that when we went to see Rogue One, there was an ad for like some big video game event where you come to the movie theater to watch the best people play video games.
Esports. Absolutely. Yeah. No, the whole esports thing in the last couple of years has gotten really, really huge. Mainly for MOBA games, like League of Legends, Overwatch, Counter-Strike, you know, first-person shooters and MOBA games. Massive money being spent promoting these things and going to these tournaments. Absolutely huge in South Korea. Massive community.
But they're doing it
there.
Here in Canada, too.
Oh, no, they are. They are, but, you know, the best teams right now in a lot of these games are from Korea, and they're whooping butt. But, you know, you're right, Hugh. It is about that sense of community and going back and, you know, doing things with your friends. Just, you know, as much fun it is, as it is to watch these speedrunners and it is to watch these YouTubes, I'd rather play the game. You know, I watch them to get some entertainment because it's like watching a TV show. Sure, that's cool. But, you know, you give me a choice, I'm going to play the video game. I did hear an interesting perspective from a teen from a couple of weekends ago where he was watching a Twitch stream of this new PS4 game, Steep, which is all about like snowboard racing and stuff. I said, why don't you just play the game? He's like, well, video games are expensive. YouTube is free.
This is also true.
This is true. And, you know, like, for instance, when Destiny, what's the one where you just land out in a planet and you wake up and you have no idea how you got there?
No Man's Sky. Yeah.
No Man's Sky, sorry.
Also Destiny.
Yeah. But no, it was No Man's Sky that I was thinking of. When that first came out, I did watch some people play it because they were like, all right, so what happens here? And as they were figuring out, it was kind of cool at the time to try to get that perspective.
But yeah, I think that's what Nintendo continues to sort of build its market share on and continues to hopefully promote with the way they're, you know, selling the Switch.
Yeah.
That it is a digital hearth to gather around.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we saw that happen with the Wii. I mean, suddenly people were playing games together again, and they were getting all into it. And with the Amiibos, I think it is another platform that they've done. And now with Switch, I think that on the whole, Nintendo has been my favorite of the consoles, even if it may not always be the console that I'm playing at the time. Mm-hmm. They've always had like their one mission that they're going for, and they're not trying to be PlayStation, and they're not trying to be Xbox. They're just trying to be Nintendo, and that I've always liked. And like you said, that their console is the hearthstone of the 21st century that people are gathering around.
Yeah, Nintendo has always done that better, I think, than the other consoles. That it's always been, you know, from the very beginning of the Nintendo, it's always been the family entertainment center, and it's always been that thing that has that sense of community. And they've always had games. They've never tried to be the most realistic. They've never tried to be the most arcade. They've never tried to be the best graphics, best sound, best anything. But it's always been Mario Kart, Smash Brothers, Super Mario games, Mario Party. Oh my God, Mario Party, GoldenEye. Talk about knocking that out of the park with a sleeper hit. You know, the Nintendo 64 is going to have one of the defining first person shooters of all time in it. Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, without GoldenEye, I mean, we wouldn't have all Call of Duty or any of the other ones.
Yeah, I think that
somebody would have done it.
Well, no, I think you know, they jumped ship over to Xbox, but yeah, you have that sort of Rare, Bungie, Halo sort of progression.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That all sort of starts with GoldenEye.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, I remember Street Fighter being a really big one, but that's not really something that I want to go back and play. Some of the ones that I really want to go back and I still go back and play, or if I see it in an arcade, I do. You've got Pac-Man, and you've got Zelda, and not so much arcade, but, you know, Tetris and all of that. What are some of the ones that it's an older game, but if you see it at an arcade or you see it somewhere, you want to play it?
Cyber Trooper Virtualon.
What? I don't even know that one.
Okay. Was that one of the gun games?
No, it's a 3D fighting game. It's an early polygon 3D fighting game where you are a giant robot and the other person is a giant robot, and you have to hit them with a giant robot. All your giant robot weapons. And the control scheme is a pair of flight sticks with triggers.
I remember this. Yeah, but they were they were like tiller bars, so you had to push them both to go forward, pull them both back to go backwards.
I never played this, but I always thought of it, now that I'm seeing the screenshots, of like real virtual Rock'em Sock'em robots.
Yeah, it was all sort of like big polygon, sort of like laser sweeping. But the laser tag place in my town had this like huge dual setup, and it was just the best.
That looks awesome. I saw the picture.
Most of high school in there.
If I'm gonna waste quarters in an arcade, because that's what I do, it's either gonna be if I can find a Die Hard machine.
Okay.
Because the Die Hard video game was actually really, really good. It was like early polygons, but it was like a side scroll and beat 'em up.
So like it broke the rule of if it's based on a movie or TV, it sucks.
It was loosely based, and you know what? It was pretty good. And if not, then it's any of the Time Crisis games.
Mm. Yeah.
So Time Crisis was a gun game. So you've got like a light shooter in your hands and you're shooting at bad guys. You're a cop making your way through this this thing. And the gimmick of the game is that you've got a pedal. When you press on the pedal, you duck into cover. And in cover, you can reload and you're immune to damage. And then you let go of the pedal, you pop up out of cover and you can shoot the bad guys, but you can take damage. And the whole game is based on a timer. And the timer never stops scrolling down. So all the time you spent in cover, you're wasting time that you need to use later on in the level. And it it forces you to go faster and faster and faster and faster. And man, what a quarter eater.
Quarter.
Shut up. I mean, I love you.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Quarter.
Yeah, exactly. See?
Quarter.
So is it a coupon?
No, it's a coupon.
I know.
Coupon.
I'm making fun of him. So Donkey Kong was actually kind of fun to play, but I think I liked the evolution of Donkey Kong, which was the mini game in Mario Brothers, where Mario and Luigi have to fight each other.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was an
original
arcade game,
Mario
too.
Brothers.
Yeah, that's the original Mario Brothers. That was like an original arcade game.
Oh, which
is just you going around and you get the pipes in the corners. And yeah. That's how it started.
Yeah. So any last honorable mentions that you want to talk about before we wrap this up?
That I haven't mentioned yet. Well, we talked about how much we like Super Mario Brothers.
Yep.
We talked about how much we like Final Fantasy.
Yep.
Let's put them together. Super Mario RPG.
Mm.
What a great game.
Okay. Well, not a vintage game, but I really did dig Kingdom Hearts.
The Kingdom Hearts is, you like Disney, you like your Final Fantasy, cause smash, let's put them together. What? Yeah, amazing. And Kingdom Hearts 3 on its way out now. Cannot wait for it. Going to be so much fun.
Yeah. Any last honorable mentions, Hugh?
Not quite vintage, but, you know, it dates back to, you know, 95, 96, that era. So I will go ahead
still
and
20
say
years ago.
Worms,
absolutely worms.
Oh, and Snake. Remember Snake? And you'd get Snake on your phone, like that first flip phone you had, and you're like, dude, I have Snake on my phone.
Worms, so good. Yes. And now they got Worms Armageddon, Worms 3D. And
Worms are awesome.
The first time you baseball bat another worm off the level.
Yeah, there was an older computer game that was sort of like a similar premise, but it was with tanks called Scorched Earth.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So much time as a kid.
Oh, I loved Scorched Earth. Used to play against my dad and my sister. Oh,
just,
yeah.
Just like bust up all the ground underneath him and then watch him fall.
So the most recent Worms game was released in 2010.
There was a Worms game released this year. I haven't been able to find it.
Okay, then. But yeah, Worms is awesome.
I didn't like the 3D ones that they did. I find that you have to stick to the classic 2D.
The 3D ones weren't that great.
Yeah.
The 2D one for the Wii, which was, I believe, Battle Islands, is pretty good.
Mm. So Worms made me think of Snake, which made me think of some of the other like classic computer games and things like that. And
Lemmings.
Lemmings.
Uh-oh! Also known as the ICQ noise.
Yes. Uh-oh. And then Snood or Brick Out or any of those games.
I think Bubble you mean Arkanoid.
Sure, that too. All of those games. You give me a puzzle game, I will be a happy person. And that's basically what Facebook games are now, right? Aren't they just puzzle games?
Well, I have put a lot of time into Marvel Puzzle Quest.
Ooh, Marvel Puzzle Quest?
Yep.
Is this like the Puzzle Quest franchise but done with Marvel?
Yeah, you can have Marvel heroes and villains.
I must find
level
this
up and have special powers.
Goodbye, Nutty. It was nice knowing you.
I think you know what you can get me for Christmas. Let's see.
It's free.
What?
It's like a free phone game.
Oh my God.
Merry Christmas. Hurrah. More money for me.
This is awesome. Oh my goodness. I must get this. I have played all of the Puzzle Quest games. I think mostly on my Game Boy, but some of them on the computer. And like the original Puzzle Quest, Puzzle Quest 2, Puzzle Quest in Space, you know, things like that. And I just, like I said, I'm such a sucker for puzzle games.
There's not a lot of story to it, but you can play as Squirrel Girl.
Oh my God.
Yep, there we've broken Nutty.
Yes, I'm totally broken.
Nutty squirrels.
That'd be so cool.
And my camera's not on, but you cannot see it. But I am holding in my hands right now my plushy little desk slime from Dragon Warrior.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
We can see it because we have a camera into your house.
You guys can see. You have cameras in my house, apparently. And but for the folks at home.
Yes. For the folks at home. They can't see it.
Yes.
You should see. These are the cameras we have in Hugh's home. Here's bathroom 1, bathroom 2, bathroom 3, bathroom 4. Are all your cameras in the bathroom? No, just my favorites.
Thank you, Dr. Krieger.
I'm glad you got that.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us. This has been a lot of fun. And I think we could just talk about video games forever, but I kind of want to just have Hugh over and play video games now.
Yes.
Like Tetris. Yes. And just show him how awesome I am.
The Tetris challenge.
And then he'll play Mario Brothers against me and go, "You suck."
So let's go around with parting shots.
Yes.
Okay, the NES Retro that's come out this year that is now impossible to find because it keeps selling out.
We need to talk about that.
Want.
What's up with that? Come on. How come nobody can get their hands on this?
But do you know what I want
Nintendo
more?
Nintendo never launches something in adequate amounts.
Because Bill Gates bought them all and sent them to his Reddit people?
No, they do it on purpose to build buzz.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
But we know the NES Retro is a huge thing, and we know we all want it. But do you know what I want more? SNES Retro.
Yes, next year.
Is it?
I hope so, too.
I can't wait.
Someday.
Oh, it'd be so great.
Because I need to waste more of my life playing Super Metroid.
Yeah, these things are licenses to print money.
They really are. And that's the thing. It's just...
I have so many, like, copies and virtual copies of Super Mario Brothers and, like, all of those NES classics. I'm still getting the retro.
Exactly.
Because
I
want it to look that good and feel that real on my projector.
And you know what will be so awesome is the fact that you don't need to use another game to hold down the original game in the NES.
You won't have to blow on the cartridges anymore.
Which they say doesn't work, but it really did work. Right. Say again?
You don't have to line the pins up just
for me. Yeah, exactly. I've had all of those little handles. I had the Atari handle where it like moves like an Atari and all of that. And I've had the arcade handle and things like that. And it brings it back just a little bit. But the NES I am really looking forward to. And it's sold out everywhere. And it makes me sad. And I couldn't even pre-order it. Oh, sorry. I just saw like somebody's talking about 8-bit dough has made the retro freak even more awesome, so why do we need an NES if we can have a Super NES? Yeah.
Because they did it right.
Yeah.
Speaking of YouTubers, I wanted to give a shout out to Jeremy Parrish, formerly Legendary Frog, now just Jeremy Parrish, but he has spent like the last 2 years
no longer legendary.
No, he's still pretty legendary, because what this dude has been doing is he has been painstakingly building a Nintendo Retro Games Collection and then producing YouTube videos, like archiving them. So he's been going through every Game Boy released in Japan, like every Game Boy game.
Wow.
And I think he's on like 1991 at this point.
Wow.
If that.
That's awesome.
You know, there was a lot of shovelware for the Game Boy.
Oh, yeah. There were so many bad games for the Game Boy. And let's also give an honorable, or rather a dishonorable mention to all of those handheld games that were like one-off handhelds, those Tiger, whatever they were.
Oh yeah,
all those
LCD games.
Huh?
LCD games.
Yeah.
Yes, all those terrible LCD games. Let's just give a shout out to that and remember how horrible they were.
Let's give a shout out to Comerica and the non-Nintendo endorsed Nintendo games, and how horrible they were.
Yeah.
Am I the only one that remembers Comerica?
No, I
remember Tengen. I don't remember Comerica.
They were horrible. Comerica games.
Yeah.
Jalico. All those, like, slightly not quite third-party licensees.
Yeah.
Who didn't want to pay for the license, and they would just...
Right. So, let's see. B-52, Big Nose Freakouts, Big Nose the Caveman, Dizzy the Adventurers, Fantastic Adventures of Dizzy, Firehawk, Linus Spacehead's Cosmic Crusade, Micro Machines.
We remember none of these.
No, MiG-29 Soviet Fighter, Quattro Adventure, Quattro Arcade, Quattro Sports, Super Robin Hood, what? Stunt Kids, and the Ultimate Sight.
Micro Machines is the only one on that I actually played, because Micro Machines wasn't that bad of a game.
Mm. So why are we giving a shout out if you don't even remember any of these games?
No, because I remember the ads in my magazines, and I remember...
'80s video game ads.
Yeah. Amazing games! Not endorsed by Nintendo.
Yeah.
Just remember that Sega does what Nintendo don't.
True.
Sega does what Nintendo.
And let's not forget, like, some of the lost consoles. Let's have a nice little memorial for the Dreamcast.
It's still in the basement.
Yes, but we haven't played it in like 10 years.
But I still have a Dreamcast.
Okay. But we're giving a memorial to the Dreamcast.
Virtual Boy.
Virtual Boy.
Oh, Virtual Boy.
Sega Genesis.
It wasn't bad when they added the extra 6 buttons, mm-hmm. or the extra 3 buttons, and the CD player.
It was a good system. And by the way, you could smash that thing against a wall like 50 times and piece it back together and it works.
Atari Jaguar.
I'm not saying that I know by personal experience. But you can.
Atari Jaguar.
Atari Lynx.
Oh. Ooh. Yeah. Atari in general.
That was a nice handheld, though.
Mm. But Atari in general, you know, the circle controllers, the one button and then the circle that you twist.
Yeah.
Anything else we need to move on?
Neo Geo.
Neo Geo. Oh, geez, Neo what Geo. Was that? I'm looking it up.
Neo Geo was kind of cool because it was this company that was making pretty wicked arcade games that made their arcade cabinet chipset.
Oh, neat.
They made their arcade cabinet chipset into a console.
You had this.
I didn't.
You have something like this somewhere in the basement.
No, I have a bunch of their games because Metal Slug is an amazing series of games.
Okay.
Oh, Metal Slug.
I've seen this controller. I know this controller.
Game Boy port of Samurai Showdown, and it is the most insane nonsense ever, and it's fantastic.
Can we also say a little something special about the fact that cartridges rock still?
They're coming back.
They are coming back, and they have always been the best.
Well, given the fact that now with... memory cards and solid state hard drives.
Yep,
the cartridge makes more sense than CDs and DVDs now, and
that's what Nintendo was trying to stick to, but they just couldn't do it.
No, but I do believe, Hugh, am I wrong that the Nintendo Switch is going back to cartridge?
I don't have the details. I know that Game Boy still new 3DS is cartridge.
Yes, still.
Right.
They're on those little cards.
I
imagine they'd want to do something like that if they can get away with it.
Yeah.
And as a bonus note, they're harder to copy.
Nintendo Switch will use cartridges.
There you go.
Wow.
Yep. Which is one of the things that got me excited about this new cartridges, but not like the N64. But yeah, it got me so excited about this stuff. Because cartridges are fast.
Yeah.
And there's no delay.
You don't have to load and copy and wait.
Well, and the fact that you can put on flash on a flash drive more data than you can put on a DVD, it just makes sense.
We've gotten to the point now where even games are coming out on multiple CDs. And we've reached the limit of that technology. We need to move on to the next thing. Yeah. And you can get terabyte solid state hard drives. So if you had a hard drive, aka a cartridge, with the entire game library, everything you need on it in, you know, like a, would give you up to multiple terabytes in size, there's our next evolution. Until we come up with a new sort of removable medium, we start recording on pure water or, I don't know, whatever the next step is. I challenge the two of you to a Tetris showdown.
Okay, let's go.
For Rye.
Welcome to die.
You will come in third place.
Probably. But then I'll get to stop playing and start drinking, so I win.
Yeah. Hooray! Wait.
Hooray! Hooray!
No, that means you have to give us your rye.
No.
Yes, winner gets rye.
We will arrange this, and it will happen at Baltica.
At Baltica. Baltica.
Thank you so much for joining us, Hugh. Is there anything in particular that you want to promote, or just promote your podcast? Go right ahead.
We're grinding towards the hiatus because Pat just moved and we're still sort of figuring out his thing. And I'm sort of figuring out what, if anything, I want to continue to do with The Way of the Buffalo. But the freelance hunters are coming back. There should be a new one coming out, hopefully before the New Year's, if not right after.
Woo-woo.
Also, I am on Wattpad now. So if you look for Hugh J. O'Donnell on Wattpad, you can get some free stories.
Yay. I'm totally not on Wattpad, but I know a lot of authors that use it, so it's pretty cool. All right, so that's awesome. So yes, you can check that out. Check Hugh out at Way of the Buffalo podcast.wordpress.com or something.
Blogspot.
Why it's Blogspot? I have no idea.
Way of the Buffalo podcast.blogspot.com because that seemed like a good idea in 2010.
And you can find his writings and all interesting information about him at hughjodonnell.com. And Tech, is there anything in particular that you would like to promote?
Yes. While we're talking about retro video games, vintage video games, and all this stuff, I would like to mention an awesome charity that everybody here needs to be involved with, and the charity is called Child's Play. Given that we are all gamers, let's support the next generation of gamers, especially sick ones. And let's donate to a thing called Child's Play. What these guys do is they buy video games and consoles and gaming carts and board games and card games and activities for sick kids in hospital to do while they're there recovering from these nasty illnesses that they've got. Games were important to me growing up, and I think they're important to this generation growing up too. So if I can give a kid a DS so that I can take his mind away from the horrible chemo he's got to go through for the next 20 minutes, I'm going to give this kid a DS. And I recommend that everybody here donates to Child. If games are important to you and were important to you growing up, donate to Child's Play and help another kid out get through something hard in their life using games as a medium, as a distraction for just a couple of minutes. And let's use games as a positive healing tool for a couple of minutes. And I think it was either started by or heavily supported by the guys from Penny Arcade, great comic, and support Child's Play.
Yep, it's a great charity, yep. And we have done so in the past many times. So you can find Tech. Where can we find you?
You can find me at nimlast.org, or you can find my adventures in trying to learn Aikido the hard way at upsidedownandflying.tumblr.com.
And we can find you at Twitter at the_clock_doc.
Right. Yeah. The clock doc underscores.
And if you're in the Nutty Bites group on Facebook, you can find him there.
Hi, I'm Tech.
It's pretty easy to stalk. All right. And you can find me at NukeJoss and on nimlast.org. There's links. You can pretty much find me on social media anywhere if you go to nimlast.org. And please continue listening to the 12 days of podcasting. We've been having some fun over there. And if you want to hear the other things that are going on, you can go to dogdaysofpodcasting.com and get the major feed. And that will give you everybody's little Christmas tiny little podcasts. But you can also listen to, and this is being put out by nimlast.org, you can listen to the Masterpiece Audio Theater car edition Basically it's reviews of audiobooks, and it's a whole cast of characters all voiced by Jay Legends as he's driving, and it's pretty interesting.
We have a viewer.
Go Jay. Yeah.
Oh, we have a viewer. Hi, viewer.
Hello, viewer. Is it Shane?
Shane should be sleeping, I should hope, but it might be Shane.
Is it Shane? Hi, Shane.
And yeah.
If it's not, hi, Shane.
Yeah. Hi, viewer. And so, yeah, you can listen to all sorts of fun there. But definitely, if you're going to tune into any of them, also Encaffeinated One, Mark the Encaffeinated One, Kilfoyle, has been doing this really neat series. It's very meta. It keeps getting interrupted by these old gods and things. And I don't want to spoil it, but it's pretty awesome. And you can find that at Wandering Out Loud. So please check that out. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. Bye.
I was there at the dawn of the third age of podcasting. It began in the year 2014 with the start of Down Below, a Babylon 5 intro cast located at downbelowpodcast.com. It was a port of call for geeks, nerds, podcasters, and wanderers from all over the world. It could be a silly place, but it was our last best hope for intelligent analysis. Under the leadership of two veterans and two new viewers, Down Below was a dream-given form, a place where everyone could come together to discuss the show with mutual respect. Down Below was the first of the Babylon 5 intro cast. Listen to its story on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or downbelowpodcast.com.
Nutty Bites is produced by Nimlas Studios under a Creative Commons Attribution No Commercial Non-Derivatives 3.0 International License. That means you can't change it without my permission. You can share it and send it to your friends. Just link back to me, my site, and everything. We live at nimlas.org, which has links to everything social media, including facebook.com/group/nuttybites and patreon.com/nukejoss, or call 347-NUTTY42.